go forward looking at the kingdom. It's really that we must realize that the kingdom has for so long only been limited to the church, which is a part of the kingdom. But the teaching by Jesus to his disciples about the kingdom actually involved understanding all things. And you may have heard this term before, but call a worldview. A worldview. Everybody has a particular worldview. How they think things are, what they think things are actually about. So when you have a certain worldview, you view things that are all around you from a certain perspective. You think about things from a certain perspective. So somebody who is an atheist or who is or an agnostic that only believes in whatever they can put underneath a microscope, you know, scientifically discovering things, they will have a particular worldview where they look at certain things from a certain perspective because their mindset is in a certain way. Amen, amen. You might have to keep him, give him something to keep him from preaching with me. Amen, amen, because he will. Amen, 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 amen. But when we have a certain worldview, it then colors how we see things. And so if the worldview is not one that is correct or biblical, then we might be correct on certain aspects of life, but we won't be correct in our estimation of other things. Amen. And so when Jesus was teaching his disciples, remember, he told them, he said, well, it is given unto you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom, meaning that God wanted them to understand how they are supposed to look and view everything that they encounter. And now that is awesome, but it's not just awesome just because he told it to the disciples, but really he's telling it to us. All those who have trusted in him and now want to seek to have his mind about things and to have a biblical mindset. Really, this is tying into a whole lot of other messages that I've already given you, but how important it is to have a biblical mindset. Because then that means that you can understand everything that's going on in terms of what God has said. And so this is really just another way of talking about kingdom. Amen. And so when he told his disciples, he said, I want you to go out and preach the gospel of the kingdom. He was not just talking about preaching the gospel of the church, not just talking about telling people about what church is like. But he is really trying to get us to understand that we need to go and share the gospel so that people will understand that God does have a plan and a purpose for everything. Amen. And how everything fits with one another. Amen. And so if you turn to Matthew chapter 13, we're going to look at one particular parable that he gave that I believe has been interpreted incorrectly. Now, I'm taking a big step out here. It has most times been interpreted incorrectly, even though the interpretation of it is still biblical. It is still correct. I do not think that Jesus was particularly talking about what a lot of commentators and people have said this parable is really teaching. Amen. So let's look at Matthew chapter 13, verse 33. Amen. He gives a parable about the kingdom, right? So he says what? Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. Let me read that again. Another parable spake he unto them. The kingdom of heaven is like, there it is. The kingdom of heaven is like. So now he's saying, I want you to understand that the kingdom of heaven is like this. He says, which is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. He gave them a story. He said, now watch this. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven. That is like yeast, right? It's like yeast that a woman took and put into three measures of meal or dough. And it was in there until the whole was leavened. Now, I must tell you, first of all, that the main way that this has been interpreted, it is scriptural and it is correct, but it's scriptural and correct in and of the truth of what is said, but it's not, I don't think, correct according to what Jesus was trying to teach here. The common way that you may hear this interpreted is interpreted from the perspective that Jesus, when he was talking about the kingdom of heaven, he's talking about the church. No, he's not talking about the church. He's talking about all the dimensions of the kingdom of God, which is including the church, but it goes beyond the church. And so when this is interpreted only from the perspective of the church, it is interpreted like this. The kingdom of heaven, which is the church, is likened to leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal till the whole was leavened. The interpretation that is usually given with this is that the leaven is the word of God, is the church, word of God, the church, using the word of God, and that God has hidden the church and his plan in the world, and until it the body of Christ then grows and fills the entire earth. Well, that is a scriptural interpretation, but I do not think that this particular parable was meant by Jesus to convey that. Now, it is true that God will have his kingdom fill the earth. That is true. But this isn't what Jesus was really referring to. Remember, when Jesus was talking about the kingdom, he was talking about different dimensions of all that he had created. And so depending on what story he was given, that determined what aspect of the kingdom he was actually talking about. Don't worry. If you're not following me yet, you will. Remember, the kingdom dealt with all areas of life, all areas of life. I think that was either last week or the week before last where I gave you the illustration of the kingdom of heaven. Well, God first created the entire creation. God is still in control of the entire creation, even though Adam sinned and it all went into haywire where now thorns and thistles is coming up. But God is still in control. We understand that God has placed things under our management, but yet God is still ultimately in control. So the kingdom of heaven actually includes all of creation. So now watch this. The kingdom is like leaven. Right? That's the first thing he said. The kingdom is like leaven. So now we must understand now from what Jesus had to say. Now, watch this. From what Jesus had to say. I'm not just saying this because I disagree with other commentators and I really like my way of thinking better. No, I believe that the scripture interprets the scripture. It's not mankind who interprets the scripture, no matter how well or no matter how beneficial it might be. Now watch this. The kingdom is like leaven. This is what Jesus said. He said the kingdom of heaven is like leaven. Now the kingdom is not like the leaven, but he's saying the kingdom of heaven is like this whole picture that he's given. But look at this. The kingdom is like leaven. Watch this. What dimension is this? What dimension is he really talking about? This is the first question that we must ask. What dimension is this that he's talking about? The next question is, what is leaven? Why did he use that term? Why did he use the word leaven? Why did he use that term? Why a woman in the story? Okay. Why did he use a woman in the story? It was another instance where he said the kingdom of heaven is like a man that goes out to sow seed. Okay, why did he use a man again? Why did he use a woman? Next one. Why was it hidden? Why did he say the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that was hidden in three measures of meal? And the last question is, how did it spread? Now, these are all the questions. If we're going to understand the kingdom and what God is trying to say, this will, if you look at all of the parables that Jesus gave, they will help us in life in general, because sometimes even as Christians, we make our mistakes because there are certain aspects of life that we're not certain what really to do. Hello. That we find ourselves, we're Christians, and sometimes we pray, and even when we pray, we're in a situation we don't hear the audible voice of God saying, do this way. Hello. So now, look at this. He said, the kingdom is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in three measures of meal until the whole dough was leavened. Now, let's look. Leaven. Leaven. What does, and I had this discussion with a brother yesterday while we were coming home from work. I was saying that the scripture itself interprets the scripture. The scripture interprets, let me say that again so you can put it down in your notes. The scripture, God understood that we are finite being, meaning that we are prone to make mistakes, and there's some stuff that we don't know. So God did not leave it up to us, no matter how smart, no matter how much Bible college we've been to and all the rest of that. He didn't leave it up to us to try to figure out what he was saying and what he meant. Actually, God gives the answers to all of his questions within his word. The Bible actually answers any question that you might have. You just might not know where to go to look for it, but it's in there. It's like Prego. It's in there. The answers are there. So now, here's the first question. Why leaven? Why did he use leaven? Jesus did not just use words just to be using words. He didn't use parables and illustrations just to be using. Everything was pertinent to what he was talking about. Why did he use leaven? Leaven represents always in the scripture. Now watch this. Always in the scripture, leaven represents sin and unrighteousness. Everywhere in the scripture, leaven represents sin and unrighteousness. That's why I said I don't necessarily agree with the interpretation that is most commonly given concerning this parable, because it's given as if the leaven represents the church. When in the scripture, leaven is always referenced and given in a negative context representing sin and unrighteousness. So then the church couldn't be what is represented by the leaven. Look at Exodus chapter 12, verse 15 is the first reference where we see leaven. He says, 7 days shall you eat what? Unleavened bread. That means bread with no leaven in it. Right? Even the first day you shall put away leaven out of your houses. He says, don't even eat it. Don't have any leaven or yeast in your house. This is what God said. So now it then says, okay, well, for some reason now, leaven must be bad. God must be saying leaven must be bad. I don't understand why. Well, they probably didn't understand, but God was trying to give a lesson. Now, and so it says, for whosoever eats leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. Meaning that you got to put them out. If anybody eats leaven from the day of their consecration, the first day to the seventh day, that soul should be cut off. That lets me know right there. There is a certain, and I'm going to throw this out there. I probably said it before. It may help you when you're studying. It is what is considered the law of first reference. However God introduces something in the Word of God sets the tone for how you're supposed to look at it throughout the rest of the Bible. The law of first reference. So whenever you see something pop up for the first time in the Bible, meaning from Genesis to Revelation, that then sets the tone for how God is going to use that same picture throughout. It's like a key. You know, when you were in school, you know, you had a key. You had an example. You were given the key, and that key then was to help you understand all the rest of the stuff that you were looking at. So now God chose leaven and used leaven in a negative connotation, saying, hey, put it out from among you. Don't have any leaven in your house. Now, just in case you don't know what leaven is, I know there's a lot of, you know, folks that cook here and understand cakes and all the rest of that. You know what leaven is. Leaven is really yeast. Yeast, actually, when you put it in bread, it actually is a fermentation process. It is actually something that is good for us, but it's like it can be dangerous. It's like mold, but it's different. It's like a good mold. You have like fungus. It's a fungus. It's actually a fungus. You have good fungus and you have bad fungus. You have mushrooms you can eat and you have mushrooms that are poisonous. Okay? So yeast, in a sense, is something that actually breaks down things. That's why if you don't eat bread in a certain length of time, then it goes bad. Because actually, from the moment you make it, it starts slowly going bad. So now he says leaven is actually yeast. It's actually something that breaks down stuff. Okay. So now he says, don't even have leaven in your house. Right? Now look, what does it talk about in the New Testament? Remember, we're looking at this. What does the Bible say? Cause if it says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven, which a woman used, and put in 3 measures of meal, we got to see, what is he talking about? Leaven. What does it say in the New Testament? What did Jesus say? Jesus said to his disciples in Matthew 16:6, he said, beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and Sadducees. Remember? Then his disciples thought, he said, hold on. It's because we haven't eaten. And Jesus was like, hold on. Oh my goodness. Haven't you been with me long enough? Don't you understand? I'm not talking about bread. He says, beware of the doctrine of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. Negative. Uses it in a negative way again. The leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, their hypocrisy. He was really telling them, watch out for the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees, right? 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 6, 1 Corinthians 5:6, he says, he tells them that they were so caught up with what they thought was loving each other that they were putting up with sin. So they were glorying in the fact that they were a loving church, but he was saying, don't glory in putting up with sin, because he says, what? A little leaven leavens the entire lump or dough, right? So now you have, then also in verse 8, jumping down to verse 8, Paul says, beware and make sure that you get out of yourselves the leaven of malice and wickedness. Watch this. The whole Bible, from the Old Testament to the New Testament, whenever it uses leaven, it's always using leaven to reference and talk about sin and unrighteousness. You see it? I just gave you a few instances, right? Now, let's go back to what Jesus said. Jesus said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman took and hid. So now, that leaven that Jesus is talking about could not be referencing the church. So now, keep that in mind. Keep that first thing in mind, that the leaven represents in all of scripture sin. Everybody got that? Everybody say sin. Leaven represents sin. Now, the next point in the story is it was a woman. Why wasn't it a man? Why didn't he use a man? Why didn't he, you know, he said there was a man went out and was throwing seed onto the ground. Okay. But this one is woman, is the picture of a woman. Now, women, let me get through this and it will make it, we'll make it plain. The woman represents the seductive nature that will introduce the leaven. Now, the woman is used because the picture, scripturally speaking, it doesn't mean that all women are seductive, but whenever the picture of the woman is used, it's used as a reference to seduction, meaning something is going to be slipped in while you're distracted. Hello, ladies. Oh, y'all real quiet. Y'all real quiet. Hey, I got one amen from way in the back. Amen. Brother LaMail was saying amen all the way in the back. Look at this. A woman is not known for getting something from a man through force, but through coercion. Hello. Usually, this is why the picture of the woman is being used, that usually you don't have a woman being pictured. You don't even think about a woman trying to wrestle a guy, grab him in the headlock, even though you do have some. But, you know, you don't normally see women trying to force a man to do something with physical force. But you find that she many times will try to get her way through coercion. Hello. So he uses the picture of the woman to represent seduction or slipping something in or coercive nature of how the sin gets in there. Right. So now the next thing it says, the leaven is then taken by the woman and what? What does the scripture say? Hidden in three measures of meal. What does hidden? Why did he use the word hidden? Now, once again, the common way of looking at this has been that God is the woman and he hid the church in the world until his kingdom flourishes. No, when Jesus used the picture of God being in the picture, he used it as being the man who was sowing seed, right? Now that he's using a woman, we must see that this from scripture, we've got to understand this from scripture. Once again, we must interpret everything according to what scripture has already given to us. Look, let me back up. The picture of the woman, we have the illustration of Jezebel, right? We also have the picture of, in the book of Revelation, the woman that was clothed in purple and costly gold and jewels riding on the beast. So you have this picture in the New Testament as well as the Old Testament of the woman being representing bringing in wickedness. Then when you go to Zechariah in the Old Testament, you have Zechariah saw a vision of a woman sitting in a basket that had a lead top on it. And then when he lifted up the lead top, he looked down and saw the woman in the basket. And he said, well, what is this? And he said, this is wickedness. And then he saw two women coming out with stork's wings. Stork is an unclean bird. Stork's wings, and they picked up the basket and carried it off. And he says, where are they taking it? He said, they're taking it to Babylon to make a place for it. So now women, when it's used in a vision aspect, is used to show the coercive or seductive or hidden nature of wickedness being introduced. So now it has nothing to do with women, but that picture was used. Amen. Got it. All right. So why was it hidden? It says the leaven was hidden in the meal. Hidden. Anything that is hidden is not meant to be found. Hello? That makes sense. You had something because you don't want somebody to find it or to see it, right? Sometimes we hide money from ourselves. Hello? And hope we find it when we need it. Amen. Still ain't found it. Look, let's think about it. What does Jesus say? He said, the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven which a woman hid. Anything hidden is not meant to be found. Now, the woman, the picture of the woman is used, so she's trying to slip something in. She's trying to hide something. Look, the leaven was hidden in a small amount of meal. Wasn't in a lot. 3 measures. It was just about a pint of dough. Just about a pint of dough. And this leaven, it was a little leaven that was put into this little bit of dough. Look, it represents the secret work that wasn't to be found out until the leaven had done its work. We're still looking at the picture of the kingdom, right? So he says the kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in this dough until the whole of the leaven, the whole of the dough was completely full of leaven. So now the woman took it, she hid it in the leaven, and it represents the secret work. Now, the secret work that wasn't to be found out until it was all done. Now, when has God ever done secret work? He hasn't. God is the God of light. Well, but then we know also that the scripture says men love darkness rather than light. Why? Because their deeds are evil, because they can secretively do some stuff when stuff is hidden. Look at the hidden work. Well, we talked about that. John 3:19. Men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. Then Matthew 13:25. Here's another parable. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat and went his way. This is the same picture. The woman came and hid some leaven in the meal. Now, look at the parable that he gives. I want you to see what he's talking about, because we're going to pull it all together in a minute. He says that the woman took the leaven and hid it in the meal. Why would she have to hide yeast in bread if it wasn't supposed to be there? If you're just making bread that's supposed to have yeast in it, you don't need to hide it, right? But Jesus said she took it and hid it in the meal. Now, while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares among the wheat. It's the same picture. Now, how did it spread? Then we're going to pull all this together. How did it actually spread? When it was hidden, it started to permeate slowly until it spread throughout. That's what yeast does. Yeast, once it gets in there, it starts to multiply and it starts to spread out until it fills the whole of the dough. It doesn't matter how much you put in there. When you put it in there, it starts to spread. Right? When you put yeast in dough, it starts to spread until the whole thing rises, right? But now, leaven is a type of yeast. We already talked about that. But look, put a little in and it spreads throughout the whole thing. All you need is a little for it to spread. Now, what is God talking about? What is the leaven? According to scripture, what does the leaven represent? It represents what? Sin and unrighteousness. So now, watch this. This is how sin is. So Jesus was saying, I need you to understand this aspect of the kingdom, meaning all of my creation, not the church, but all of my creation, the kingdom of the world. What does this part of the kingdom represent? It actually represents the kingdom of men, because you can't really have sin in the creation of, you know, of the physical creation. You can only have sin when men and women are the players of the part of the kingdom. And so when he says the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman hid, he's really talking about when God created man, you got the devil that comes in and he introduces sin in a little bit. Look, humanity is the meal. This is what he's trying to say. I need you to understand what he's saying is I need you to understand how you need to look at and view all of humanity. View what's going on, why people are doing what they're doing, so that as part of the church, you will understand what you're fighting against. There's the key. As the church, you have a job to do. But then Christ is saying, I need you also to understand what you're fighting against, because you're trying to persuade humanity to come to the kingdom of light. But you must also understand there's some stuff that's growing while the kingdom of God is growing. Mankind was created for God's expression. That's what he created Adam and Eve for, right? But look, Satan didn't take long to introduce wickedness into humanity. Remember, it was a small amount of meal. That's what Jesus said. He said it was about a pint worth of meal. Wasn't a lot. And then the woman came in, took the leaven and put it into the small amount of meal. What happened? It was only Adam, Eve, Cain, and Abel. Only four folks when Satan came in. And what did he do? How did he come in? How did Satan come in? Satan came in with Adam and Eve seductively, but then he also, in a sense, came in to Cain and Abel seductively also in that type of thing. Remember, because when God came to Cain, when Cain was man, he said, why are you so upset? Why are you looking like you're looking? He says, if you do well, won't I accept you? But then he told him this. Remember, he said what? Sin is crouching at the door. Sin is crouching at the door. That means that sin is waiting there for an opportunity to slip in. Hiding. Hello. So Jesus is saying, I need you to understand, this is how this leaven has gotten in from the beginning of the world until now. I need you to understand what you're fighting against. He said, because Satan is coming in seductively, like, you know, he's not coming in like a man, like a bodybuilder coming in to just bust in the door. No, he's coming in sauntering. Hello. He's going to come batting his eyes, in a sense. Hello. Trying to find your weakness to get what he wants. So you see the same thing. What had happened? It had gotten in through, of course, Adam and Eve, but then it got in again through Cain killing his brother, until it got to the point where in Noah's day, God said, I can't find nobody on the earth who's righteous except for eight people. So Jesus is saying, I'm letting you know how things actually operate and why they operate. Because here's the thing. Until God really shows you what things really are, you are just assuming what you think things are really about. That's the problem nowadays. And this is why I guess I've been sticking on this kingdom. That's why I think The church, now hear what I'm about to say. God is in a time of revival now, but it's not a revival like people have said. The revival actually is the same message that we've been hearing, especially at the conference. Get back to basics. The church needs to get back to basics. Not the revival of, you know, exciting stuff and stuff that just blow your mind, all that stuff that, you know, rolling in the floor. Okay, that's fine and all that, but you know, we got to get back to basics. Now here's what I'm about to say. I'm about to say something real heavy. But I think the failure of the church now is not in that the church hasn't been speaking up enough. Mm-mm. The failure of the church actually is that the church does not understand that we need to see things from kingdom perspective. So now we're trying to answer. You might need to take that away from because I can hear way up here. You need to understand that the church is trying to answer the problems of the world according to the world's mindset. Hello. The church has many times started saying the same thing that the world has said. We may have been trying to put it into biblical terms, but I don't think the church is really, a lot of the church, not all of the church, but a lot of the church isn't really seeing things from a biblical perspective. So then you cannot answer a spiritual problem with just natural means. I'm not saying that we don't have to do certain things naturally, but you cannot answer and solve a spiritual problem with natural means. Yes, I don't expect the world to know how to stop all this violence on the street. I expect for the world to say, well, if you turn in all your guns, we'll give you $100. Because they don't know what else to do. But when the church then only understands things from a worldly perspective, and then church leaders say, well, you know, praying is good, but we got to do something. That's basically saying that prayer don't work. We got to do something instead of praying. Hello. Now we need to pray and do something. But I think it comes from a mindset where the world has influenced the mind of the leaders, and now the leaders then don't know how to translate spiritual mindset into the congregation. So now, what is the answer? The answer is we got to first know what we up against. Because when you start saying, well, how did the world get as bad as it, how is things as bad as it's gotten? Then we start giving crazy answers such as, well, it's because of racism. Well, that's only one other answer. That's only one other result. That's not the reason. It's because of rich folks. No, that's only one other problem. That's not the answer. Hello. So now the problem to all the violence on the street is not because folks are poor and so they just mad because they poor, so they killing folks. No, that's not the answer. That's just one other problem. Hello. The problem is that there is leaven that has been allowed to permeate and spread. Hello. And so when we see that the devil comes in. Now, let me put this on a personal level. You must also understand that Jesus is not just telling us in the big picture what's going on, but he's also letting us know how we ought to see things in our own life. Here's the thing. Don't be discouraged when you're trying to do something good and then you start seeing leaven pop up. Hello. Don't be discouraged when you're trying to do something for God and something comes in that is fighting to stop what you're doing. Because if God started stuff himself and Satan came in on God's stuff. Hello. Hello. What makes you think you just gonna start something, do something, and everything just gonna work out great and just run smooth? No, you must understand that God says, I want you to understand the mysteries of the kingdom. I don't care how well you want to try to start a church, how well folks want to have their ministry biblical and everything else. And then you say, I'm preaching the word. And then all of a sudden, how did these folks that don't seem to love, how they backbiting everything? Hello. Hello. There will always be leaven stuck in somewhere. Hello. Now. Some folks will go to the crazy extent and say, well, don't say that. That's not speaking faith. No. If you say that, if you are trying to deny that that's not going to happen, that's just crazy. Hello. Because God has already said, hey, the kingdom of God is like this. A woman comes in, takes some meal and slips it in there. So some leaven and slips it in there. So look at this. Even the apostles understood this. Going back to Ephesians chapter 20, the apostle Paul did everything he could. He said what? He said, I have not stopped. I have not held back anything that was profitable for you all. I've taught you everything that I could. He set up the churches the way that God told him to set it up. He did everything right. And then he said, now I give you the elders, the charge to watch over and oversee the flock of God, which God has made you overseer. And he said, but I know that when I'm gone, grievous wolves will come in and then not spare the flock. And even from among your members. Hello. He said, y'all going to pull folks to yourselves and not pull them towards Christ. So now even the apostle Paul understood. He understood the kingdom is, hey, I'm doing a work for God, but I understand that the enemy is going to slip something in while I'm working. Amen. Folks get so discouraged because I think we have this false idea that if we're doing something for God, then there shouldn't be any opposition. If we're really sincere about doing the things of God, there shouldn't be any enemies that come along. Hello. And we feel that if something now we find out that now the whole meal has been infiltrated. Hello. That's another word. Infiltrated. Then we say, well, God, what did I do wrong? And God is saying, you just haven't realized that's how the kingdom works. So here, once again, going back, Jesus wasn't talking about the church. He wasn't talking about this perfect idea of Christ setting up his church. And now the church is hidden in the world. And now it becomes this great thing. Yes, that is true. But that wasn't what he was trying to tell them. That wasn't what he was trying to tell them. He was saying, there's this woman who's trying to slip and hide some meal in there. Now, I wouldn't be surprised. I wouldn't be surprised. Now, we don't have any other context with this. But if he says the woman came and hid the leaven in the meal, it may have been, it is just something, it may have been that the meal that was there was supposed to be there as unleavened bread for one of the sacrifices. And so then for the woman to hide the leaven in the meal meant that she was probably trying to contaminate a spiritual act. Hello. So now here's the thing. If we as believers are to do all things to the glory of God, then that means every aspect of your life at some point may be under attack. Amen. Amen. Hello. Amen. When you say, I'm going to give it all up to you, God. I'm going to do this. I'm going to put my whole life on the line for you. Lord, I'm going to put my family in your hand. Lord, I'm going to do that. I'm going to put my job in your hand. Lord, I'm going to put everything. I'm going to do everything. Now, the moment that you do that, watch this. The moment that you do that, you actually turn your entire life into unleavened bread. Unleavened bread. Remember from Exodus, their feast was supposed to be with unleavened bread, consecration. It wasn't to have leaven in it. What did leaven represent? Leaven represented sin and unrighteousness. He said, don't have any leaven in your whole house. Right? So the moment that you consecrate your life to the Lord, you actually make your entire life unleavened bread. That is ready to be put in the fire. So now, the moment that you do this, No, it's not up there. The moment, let's go back. Because this one is right here. This one is right here. This one is fresh off the presses. Exodus chapter 12, verse 15 was when he said he wanted them to consecrate themselves, that they were about to leave out of Egypt. Just in case you didn't know the context, they were just about to leave out of Egypt. This is on that first Passover. Remember where the angel was passing over. If he didn't see the blood on the doorpost, he was going to kill the firstborn in the house. Remember? While they were eating the lamb of the Passover, they were also supposed to have unleavened bread. Right? This represented deliverance and release. So the moment, now you got the context. So the moment that you consecrate your life and say, Lord, I'm going to give it up. I'm giving it, or you may have consecrated this area, but now you finally going to release this area of your life to the Lord. Every area of your life that you have consecrated to the Lord, it represents unleavened bread, where you're saying, I'm getting all the leaven out. I'm getting all the sin out. I'm getting all the unrighteousness out of this area of my life. I'm going to stop doing it my way. I'm going to do it your way. It represents bread. Your life represents bread with no yeast in it. Without sin. Got it? So now, the moment you do that, that area of your life is open for Satan to try to slip something in. Got it? Watch. Jesus is saying in the parable of the leaven in the meal is, don't be shocked, because this is how the enemy works. Not to be scared about it, but he was actually saying, hey, you need to understand, this is how Satan works. He works to seduce his way in so he can slip some leaven in what you're trying to do. Right? So now, watch this. When we look at history, we see that this is what has happened. He comes in. He puts in a little leaven until the leaven makes the whole lump completely filled with leaven. Now, remember, we talked about what yeast actually is. Yeast is actually, it is a good fungus, but a fungus is still something that is breaking something down. And now here's the thing with it. Not all sin looks like it's bad when you first get it. Oh, Jesus, y'all making this real hard. Not all. Oh, you lost that one. All right. Okay, not every relationship that you think is so good when you first meet them and they seem like Prince Charming and Queen Anne. Hello. Oh, okay. We went down that street. I just had to find the right example, right? I had to go the right example. Okay. Everything that you get, everything that you've been introduced to don't always look like is about to infiltrate your life. Hello. So this is what Jesus is saying. Jesus is saying that while you're attempting to do the right thing, while humanity thinks it's doing the right thing, it doesn't realize that Satan is trying to slip in something that in a little increment that he knows that if I just let it sit there long enough, it's going to start eating up. Oh, well, he just, you know, I'm trying to be a good woman. I'm trying to be a good woman and support my man. You know, I know he don't have a job right now, but he working on it. I mean, he going to be working on it when he stop playing with the PlayStation today. He told me he going to look for a job tomorrow. And then next thing you know, he done got one toothbrush. Now is the whole closet. Hello. Infiltration. Hello, somebody. You find out that you have relationships where it look like they helping you, but then you find out they taking more from you than they you really getting from them. And how in the world then you find yourself in a situation and say, well, how did I get here? Why? It didn't happen overnight. It was something that was in increments. So Jesus says, you need to understand that the kingdom is like this, or one dimension of the kingdom. This is why Jesus wasn't talking about the church in this perspective, but he was talking to the church about how to live successfully in a world where you're surrounded by leaven. You're surrounded by sin. Remember, Jesus also had to tell them, he says, I'm praying that you would all be kept from the wicked one. Not that you'll be kept totally, because you have to be completely taken out of the world. But he said, I want you not to be allow yourself to be taken over and infiltrated by this sin and by this wickedness. So we need to understand that how has the world got as bad as it's gotten? It isn't, you can't even really look and see that things are as bad as they are now. You can't even say that this happened because of 8 years ago. You can't say this happened because of 20 years ago. You can't say, no, you got to actually go back further than that. That Satan slips stuff in small, minute portions, and he lets stuff grow over time. So now, here's the thing. We then must understand that if stuff happened over a long period of time, not even going with that, even in your own life, you may try to straighten some stuff out and you get mad because you can't straighten it out overnight. Well, you didn't get into the position you got into. We didn't get into the position we got into overnight. Hello, somebody. So it is a process of getting out of something that it was a process of getting into. Hello. Amen. You know, going back to that example. Yes, you may make the decision to cut that relationship off, that toxic relationship off, but that don't mean that your heart has cut it off. Amen. Hello, somebody. Amen. And so it may take increments of you getting away from that situation in your mind, even though you've gotten away from it physically. Hello. And so, going to the leaven in the meal. The leaven was hidden in the meal. What was that? That was Matthew chapter 13, 33, right? The woman, he said, the kingdom of heaven is like leaven that a woman hid in 3 measures of meal. Remember, so now, you see, this is not talking about the church. This is not talking about the church. The leaven in the meal. Look, the thing about it is, once the leaven has started and has permeated the entire dough, there's no way of separating the leaven from the yeast, from the wheat. There's no way. It's just like you made a loaf of bread. Now you're going to try to take the yeast out. You can't. Cause every piece of it is contaminated in essence. Now watch. You cannot separate the leaven from the meal once it's in there, right? Here's the thing that we must keep in mind. God must purge the whole thing. There's the next thing. God must purge the whole thing. Let me say that again. Once the leaven is in there, God must purge the whole thing. The world systems can't be rehabilitated. Now that almost may sound like a negative statement, but it is actually a true statement. That is why I say that the church now, a large segment of the church now, has fallen into the mindset that the world has. The world says that if we just do this, we can rehabilitate. The world says if we can just do this, if we can just change this around, oh, if we can just get this government out and put a democratic government in there, then we can change everything. Everything will be perfect. No, because you're dealing with humanity. It don't matter how you change it around. You're still dealing with humanity who has a sin nature. So every time you look, and once again, I like history. And it's interesting that you see history a whole lot differently when you see history through the vantage point of a biblical mindset. You see through history that history has done nothing but repeat itself. Because every time you get one government and people want to overthrow it, say, we got a better way of doing stuff, it may work fine for a little while, but then you start finding out that thing is corrupt. Two, because you're still dealing with what? Humanity that is corrupted by sin. No matter how well people want to do stuff, no matter how sincere they are, it is impossible for individuals to do something solely from a selfless perspective. So if you can't do anything from a selfless perspective, that only leaves a selfish perspective. The only way for things to change, the world systems cannot be rehabilitated. Look, God, here's a real heavy one. Here's a real heavy one that you must really understand. God has to destroy this order and set up his kingdom. That's why we pray, what? Thy kingdom come. To the person in the world that don't understand that, that almost sounds like you hate humanity. No, it's really understanding the truth of the matter. That you do not change somebody because you introduce them to religion. I need to let that sink in because I know that I got some. You don't change somebody because you introduce them to religion. Religion does not change somebody. Christ changed somebody. Religion is the practice of your belief. Religion is actually the practice of your belief. That's an oversimplification of it, but in essence, that's what it is. Religion is the practice of your belief. Religion is not necessarily your belief. So when we say that sin has totally infiltrated God's creation, the only remedy for this creation is for God to then do what Peter said, that the elements will be destroyed with fervent heat. He has to totally take away the old earth, the old heavens, and what? We look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein righteousness dwells. Now, the only way for that to happen is he's got to purge out the entire loaf. Now, before we get scared, here's the interesting part. God then sent his son so that he could take out from this realm and put us into his kingdom where he keeps us protected. He keeps us protected by, not by what we know, not by the scriptures per se, but he keeps us protected because what? That's why the scripture talks about we are in him. Being in Christ. Blessed are those who die in. He says that those that have accepted Christ, they don't have to worry about the second death. Hello. That he's actually saying you need to understand what's actually going on, but you need to understand that it's not by your church attendance. It's not by what you know up here, but it's about who you have put your life in. Being in Christ, right? If you are in Christ, then you are actually not a part of this system. You are seated, as Ephesians said, you are seated with him in heavenly places. So that when he gets ready to renovate and totally undo this order of things and set up the new heaven and the new earth, you're already with him in heavenly places. So that, as it says in Thessalonians, have I lost anybody yet? So when he says in Thessalonians, we are not appointed unto wrath. The wrath is for this world order that is permeated with sin. It's not saying that we are without sin ourselves. It's not saying that, but it's saying that that is the reason why it's appointed to all men to die. And after that, the judgment. That the part of us that contains the sin and the leaven, even that has to go under judgment, which is that this mortality shall put on immortality. That flesh and blood cannot enter into heaven. We can't enter into heaven with this body and this sin nature. But yet God says, if you trust me, I will then totally take you over. So that even if you die, your body goes to the ground, but yet your spirit and your soul goes to be with me. And when I give you your new body, it will be one that will have no sin nature. You won't have to worry about disobeying me. You can obey me without having any hesitation. You can obey me without having any reservations, not wanting to do your own thing, and that you will be perfect. So, in understanding that part of the kingdom, we still have to understand that he says you still have to live in a world where you must understand that there's still leaven being dropped in here and there. Stuff is being permeated. The new heavens, the new earth. Look, here's why he says what he says. Look, and this, I think this is about the end. He says, what? 1 John 2 and 15, 15 and then 17. He says, love not the world. Why shouldn't we love the world? Because the world system has been contaminated. Didn't say don't live in the world. Because some people think that they can escape loving the world by becoming hermits or setting up religious compounds and all the rest. No, you're still part of the world. That love not the world has to do with the spirit and the soul, not the physical body and what you do, what you put on. And, you know, you're going to be Amish and still just dress like you in 1700s. Well, they were still seeing in the 1700s. Hello. You know, that those physical things don't keep us away from the world. But he says, love not the world. Why? Because John said the world is passing away and the lust thereof, meaning that God is going to totally take away this order of things. But he that does the will of God abides forever. So now he tells us, operate in the kingdom of light. Understand that there's some other stuff that's trying to infiltrate parts of your life and part of what you want to do for God. And so understand that this stuff will happen, but don't become discouraged. If I can say nothing else, don't become discouraged. God has to get rid of the leavened bread. And now with this, we must remove the leaven out of our life in obedience to Christ. Don't be discouraged. There has to be, as long as God allows things to go on, you will continue to see leaven grow up. Leaven meaning sin. Because ultimately, the book of Revelation actually talks about it this way, that the entire earth is going to be leavened. And it even talks about that those who are influenced by the wicked one will even encamp, surround the encampment of the saints. And so you must realize that no matter how bad it gets and no matter how wicked things are, our ultimate job is to then say, God, out of this, out of all this permeation of sin, God, you have me here to try to bring somebody and pull somebody out of the flames. You have me to be here because I'm in you, to try to pull somebody else out. It may be a daughter, it may be a son, it may be a neighbor, it may be somebody on the job, it may be somebody that you don't even know, that you just meet in the grocery store, that God has for you to say something to them. It doesn't matter, but we are on a rescue operation. And that with this rescue operation, you just have to understand that you are like sheep in the midst wolves and scorpions and snakes. But Jesus said this one thing, and I'm through. He says, in this world and in this life, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. He said, there's no way for you to live this life without having oppositions, without having stuff that will bring you to your knees, that will bring you to a place where you feel like you're buckling underneath the pressure of everything. When it seems like all of that sin and all of that stuff that you're trying to keep out seems like it's just coming in on you. He says, don't worry about it. I have overcome the world. So that's why it's not about just being in religion. It's not just about being in the right place and trying to do the right stuff, but it's about being in Christ, because that's the only insulation we have, is about being in Christ. And in Christ is the best place to be. Stand to your feet. Hallelujah. When you see, and right before I pray, I wanted to throw this out here. There's another part of this that you must understand also. When you see, the first moment you see leaven, seeing unrighteousness, whether it be in your own life or something that you are in authority over, Here's the principle. You need to then cut it out then before it spreads. If you start seeing something in your own life, even as what Paul was saying to the Galatians, he says that you need to root out the leaven of malice and wickedness, meaning you need to take that out of your own life. Because what? If you let it sit, it will fester. You let unforgiveness in your heart sit, it will fester into bitterness and hatred. If you let negative thoughts, if you let temptations, if you let things in your own life, if you let it sit, it will spread. It's not going to stay in one place. Whatever you see that's underneath your authority, whether it be in your household, whether it be on your job, if you don't deal with it when you first see it, it will spread. That's why you gotta deal with folks who speak negative, who try to backbite and everything, because they will get in the ear of somebody else. It will start spreading, whether it be in a church, whether it be in your home, whether it be in your own life. You need to see what is negative and then take that and pull it out. The only remedy for when the leaven was placed in the meal is wherever it's placed, you got to cut out every piece around it. That's why when they deal with cancer, they have to take out sometimes, unfortunately, good cells around the bad cells, because they don't want the bad cells to spread, because if it spreads to the other cells, it becomes contaminated. So when you see it in your own life, you need to do it like you cutting out cancer. When you see something that you're trying to do something for the Lord and you see something has infiltrated in, you got to isolate it off and cut it out as much as you can. Because God wants us to be a completely unleavened loaf of consecration before the Lord. Dear eternal God, our Father, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we bless you, Lord. We thank you for your mercy, Lord. We thank you for your grace, Lord. We thank you for everything that you've done for us, Lord. We just ask that you would continue to bless us, continue to keep us, oh God, in your care, oh God, because you are worthy to be praised, oh God, Lord. And we thank you, Lord, that you let us know, Lord, that we are in this world, oh God, Lord, and that we do have opposition against us, oh God, because the wicked one doesn't want to see your kingdom spread, but wants to see unrighteousness spread. But Lord, we thank you that you've already told us, Lord, that we already have the victory in all things. Lord, help us that we will walk in that victory, oh God, Lord, that we will walk, Lord, without allowing the leaven of malice and wickedness to infiltrate our lives, oh God. But Lord, that we will be unto your glory, to be unto your praise, oh God, in all things. And so we bless you and we thank you and we lift your name up high, oh God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Come on, let's give him the praise.